the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. My message today deals with the first 27 verses of this chapter. But I'm only going to choose one verse. And he must needs go through Samaria. I'm preaching to you, we must go through enemy territory. Would you lift your hands to pray for me? That I may be able to preach to you, would you pray for yourself, that you may be able to hear what God is going to say. Father, help us. Help me to preach. Help these people to hear. And the good and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. When my reading skills were better than they are now, I was a pretty active reader. God always blessed me with a good memory. I really don't know where I read this particular part of my study. But I have read where a man has taken the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he had, in some ways, kind of categorized those four books. Now, every Bible scholar will tell you that the book of Matthew was written to the Jew. God said what I say to one, I say to all. But in that synopsis of those books of the Bible, he showed a lot of the stories, testimonies from the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that do not show up in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, his food was locust and wild honey. He's a different man. Matthew, a tax collector. Luke, a doctor. But as I was thinking about what I'm going to preach to you this morning, I was thinking of some of those things. I did not read this, but it seems to me in reading the Gospel of John that John is drawing everything into the person of Jesus. They are by testimonies and so many other things. But John seems to be like a whirlpool. That everything that's in it gets caught up in that vortex, gets pulled into the center. Nobody will deny that Jesus is the center of everything. Being the Word of God, he said to the Holy Spirit, so when he comes, the Holy Ghost, he will not speak of himself, but he'll testify to me. In other words, if I can put it this way, the Bible is a self-revealing word about Jesus Christ. He said, you search it. You think you find right. But everything you find in this book is about me. Right? Nothing else. It pleased the Father that the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. The great God. I want to say some things to you today that God is always trying to draw us closer and closer and closer to His Son. You know why? He is willing to show us something about His Son that we need to know. I'm one of those. Maybe I'm the only one who doesn't hurt anyone else to it. I don't have to take it. That when we get to heaven, we are still be coming to understanding the person of Jesus Christ. I don't believe at any time I'll be like him to answer, but never will I be deity, neither will you, but I believe we will forever be learning Jesus Christ. It's like prayer. When the disciples went to Jesus, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. we make Jesus a bunch of yes and yes and yes. But what God wants us to have is a fresh and renewed, a daily renewing of the vision of the person of Jesus Christ. But here Jesus says in his Gospel of John, I must needs go through Samaria. We need to think about this thing. Where Jesus was and where Jesus was going, the farthest route is to go through Samaria. I'll open to this a little bit more. Are those Samaritans who the Jews did not have anything to do with? And I saw, though I knew it, but I was impressed how that Samaria is in the northern part and maybe a little removed from Israel. What I'm saying is that the Samaritans, I'm going to use the word that's in the Bible, they were the bastard relation to the Jews. It all goes back to Jacob. That's where Jacob's well was. There's a lot of other things. I found it very interesting. That's not the purpose of the message. The purpose of telling you even that much is that when Jesus got in conversation with this lady, she said, what have you got to do with me? Jesus don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. When you look at the life of a Samaritan, they worship in Mount Gerizim. They did not worship in Jerusalem. They were not monotheistic. Yes, they believed in many gods. That's the reason Jesus, when he's talking to her in his 22nd verse, there will be a time when you will not worship in this mountain, nor will you worship in Jerusalem. It's a very interesting study. As I reflect some of it in my own life. But what thought behind this meeting with the Samaritan lady was that there was to be at all costs, they were to avoid anything between the Jew and the Samaritan. Are you with me? When they traveled, they were never to take the shortcut. And we're not talking about an air-conditioned automobile. We're talking about walking. We're talking about riding on the back of a mule or a donkey. Let me that tip. I'm sure it was more agonizing, longer, harder, more sick than if you would go through Samaria. They did not even worship the one God. They may have been by kinship associated, but they had nothing to do with it. You had to go another way. I'm one of those that I'm familiar with the one thing. The faster you can get there, the better for me. And the more efficient way, the better for me. Jesus walked 30 miles out of his way to talk to the woman on the coming of the way. You see, Jesus is not about speed and efficiency. Jesus is about doing the will of the Father. Know you not that I must do the will of him that sent me? Why call you me good? There's none good but my Father in heaven. Please understand, I'm trying to paint somewhat of a picture of what was going on with Jesus and this experience in Samaria. Jesus, any time that he comes to us, it's a powerful experience. Nowhere does he just do something. He's doing the will of the Father. And to do the will of the Father takes the power of God. This is not about a lesson. This is not about a study. This is all together about he who is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, according to the Word was God and made flesh. The limitations in that human body manifested the fact that he could not do into everything that he would have been able to do in that deified body. Think about it, if you will. That when Jesus raised from the tomb, when he appeared unto his disciples, they wanted to touch him. He said, "Don't touch me. I've not ascended back to the Father." I don't know how far it is from here to heaven. And I know this one thing, when Thomas only put his finger in his hand, he said, "Go ahead." I don't know these differences. But I do know this one thing, that God has a powerful work to do. If you would go down to verse 40, you don't have to turn there, just make a note of it. Of that same chapter, you will see that every person that learned anything about Jesus from this lady, or they learned it from this lady because of her testimony of what had happened to her. If God's ever done anything for you, you have a testimony. Now, with the relationship being what it was between the Jew and the Samaritan, really what Jesus was doing, he was going through enemy territory. They were not friends. They were not acquaintances. They did everything they could to avoid one another. So Jesus saying, "I've come to do the will of the Father," he said, "I'm not just going there, it's not witness way, but he's going there because he's doing the will of God." So what does he do? He chooses. It is a willful choice. It is a deliberate action that he is going to go through Samaria to do the will of God. He has a power greater than any power. I'm going to tell you this about the devil. The devil has power. As a matter of fact, even angels, this is a new book, even angels do not bring raving accusations against the devil. I know we're always saying, "Devil, I will beat you. You better be careful. He may jump on you and beat the very life out of you." Jesus said, "You say, Satan, the Lord will beat you. There's a difference in me rebuking the devil and me rebuking the devil in the name of him that has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is a power." Let me say this. What we do in the name of Jesus is the power of God that does it. He said, "My power I give unto you." I know that man. But we need to understand that they were seen as really different from being an inferior race. They only had five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's all that. Look, I'm preaching to you today. And the quietness of different atmosphere of the service. Okay. This world is on its way to heaven. I tried to think back to some of my history. When I was a boy in school, I don't know of a time that would ever equal the Civil War. But I'm hearing people on the news today say that if this doesn't change, we're going to have Civil War. We may think we know a lot. A lot of it's what we think we know. Mr. Putin said in Russia, there's a lot that is going on, that the relationship between America and Russia is worse than it was in the Cold War. Russia moved one of their nuclear subs, so America moved one of their nuclear subs. It is so weird. We don't know what's in our future. Well, I'm going back to that scripture I quoted, "He that winneth souls is won." What Jesus was saying about going into this country, Samaria, what he was saying is, Nobody has made any other, no one has made any room for you. You're out there. Let's look at this way. If I would ask, what is the story of the Lady of Samaria? I have no doubt, no doubt, no doubt that everyone would give the same answer. She's had 5 husbands, and now she's living with a man she's not even married to. When Jesus got there, he said, call your husbands. Your husbands, she said, not having them. He said, you speak up, you talk to truth. That's fine. And you're not married to just one to another. I would do that. Because that's the part answer that we all get. But then, you got to think, you know, where women stand in society now has come up quite a bit from what it used to be. You know, can you imagine what the life experience of this Samaritan woman was? I'm not making excuses for you. But if you're married once and he sets it up, how are you going to live in that kind of a world if you're a woman? We have more women working now who keep the home. With CEOs and presidents, they're this and that, they're everything in the world. That's not the, that's the way we relate to women now. But that was not her world. Maybe if there was something different, then I'm surmising, then just surviving, maybe it would be in the Bible. Number one, Lisa. Number two, Lisa. Number 3, 4, 5, which is number 2. Can anyone remember any place in the Bible where a woman worked, had a job? I think the picture's better. I can't think of any, and I'm going to be corrected. Maybe we would have a little different thought about this woman if we were so timid in ourselves, in our opinions. Jesus knew exactly how she was living. He knew exactly where she lived. He knew exactly what he was going to have to go through to get to that place. Hello? Sister Matt, God, it's an unbelievably fantastic job. For those 4 Tuesday nights in the month of March, teaching from the book of Matthew. Brother Stephen Morgan, over in the youth, I've heard him say it. I don't know if you got it from Sister Sue, if you got it from him, if it's just me. But when they're talking about people, they said, they just need somebody to love them. They just need somebody to love them. She used that in her lessons also. They need somebody to love them. We are a people that have the word of life. Jesus said, go into all the world, teach the gospel to every man, making disciples. We don't go. We don't give permission for support to go. Their blood's going to be on our hands, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I can remember a time when the pastor could announce that they were going to have a missionary. The house could be packed. Now you're making God a missionary, nobody shows up. I've heard that story, I've seen that picture. I'll go to church, the regular service. I'm a Christian, right? That's why I go in his case. Jesus knew that. He knew the heart of that too. That woman, which gave him natural birth, a heavenly father with an earthly mother, gave him birth. When he saw them walking around Samaria, he saw and knew their attitude towards the Samaritan people. He said, I've come to do the will of him that sent me. He that with the soldiers lied. So he said, the Jew has, they have the prophets, they have the opinion. And maybe I'm starting to see these Pharisees that they had a little under the blood. None of them are going to go. That carpenter that works in the shop with me is not going to go. So he said, I must go through Samaria. In other words, I have to go. I choose to go. I absolutely will go. But what is that going to do? But the self-righteous Jew, when he sees you go, he's already been drinking because he eats pumpkins and sinners. And the best of idiots that have blasphemed themselves by saying there was a sexual relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of people that have absolutely no fear of God. What are they going to say? I've got a friend that came to me probably a year or so ago. And there was, how do I say this? There was a people that were going to take this church. I said, how can they do that? He said, they changed their constitution by them. That if a church ever gets in between, unless they'll come in and take their church away from them, they'll take the property, they'll take what money may be in the bank, they will take the assets. I told him, Brother Kent. He hit me right straight in the face. And in the same breath, he said, I thought that's where we used to be able to help people. We live in a different day and a different time. Jesus said, I'm going to go to Samaria. In other words, I'm going to march right through the territory that you call the enemy land. Enemy owned. Enemy people live there. I'm going to go. Jesus did not want her marriages or sexual love. I told you before, there was a lady that my family saw. A lady that's now dead. I asked her, I said, would you go pray for that lady? She told me, she said, I'm not going to go pray for her. She has tattoos. She has tattoos on her. I'm not going to go pray for her. I would hate to know that my eternal destiny was hanging in the balance of some people that I know. I would not want to be left in that kind of a state. Everything that we know about this woman suggests she was hanging by a thread. She was hanging by a thread. I believe when you go home and read those 27 verses and read that is the thing coming in with it, you begin to read the conversation between this lady and Jesus, you will understand something more is taking place than what they're talking about. Because what they're talking about, Jesus is changing the landscape forever. He is changing thoughts and ideas and opinions forever. Woman, we're all going to choose. They're all gone. I tell you what, self-righteousness will always have to change. Right? Self-righteousness is a step in it. It is funny. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm not going to do it. I'm the truth. I'm never going to do it. I'm the way. I'm never going to do it. All of that religious crowd, they've abandoned. They are basing everything on their preconceived ideas. I'm going to tell you folks, only thing that people in this world need is they need God. The Supreme Court needs God. The Senate needs God. The Congress needs God. The Treasury Bank needs God. We cry, cast, 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 damn, and never say a word that we would get to that life and that heart. The interest of God in heaven. I hear them up there in our halls of Congress when they're talking about who can outdrink who. Not that they have to explain certain words by spinning out of the reports or whatever. Such was saying that we know before we heard this gospel of Jesus. Maybe it was somebody on your job. Maybe it was a lady. This is the way they used to do it. She left that door to you. She'd come over and get a cup of coffee. She wouldn't get conscious of the flower. She came because she believed in the witness. The testimony. I broke from my studies a little bit yesterday. Sit down on my left seat, turned the TV on. And there was the little caption that says, last days. The last apples of the apple's place. And there was a man on there that has been autopsied many times. They were interviewing his best friends that were supposed to be best friends. He was taking drugs by the handful. I said that to say this was my life too. You heard me tell the story, I'm not going into it. I was on my way on my 341 road to March of Memphis, Tennessee. I believe this God spoke to me, said, go talk to him. Scared me to death. You've heard me tell the story of his nephew sitting there in the car out the gate. And that mansion asked me if I'd go in. Any of the things that God ministered was welcome. His mom was dead, but his grandmother was in the studio with TV. I didn't go. But every time I hear his name, I see his face. I wonder how God is going to handle me when I get to the church. Jesus will shatter every social thought about I can't go there. They do this, they do that. What Jesus was doing in this story is much as helping this lady to not be condemned. He was changing our understanding of what the work of God is. Right? I'm going to jump over some things, which I often do. When somebody speaks, go through somewhere. It has been said. And if we're going to be effective in winning into God, we're going to have to recognize the kinship that there is between us. I want to ask you, where is our familiar while my life is gone? Where is our familiar? Is it the Democratic headquarters? Is it the Republican headquarters? Is it the Islamic center? Where is it? I want my wife to read this letter from Ricky Cooper, who is the School of Christ director in Ethiopia. And it goes to many other places also. We'll be reading this letter. Remember, he raised this with his own money to take it.
This letter was written by Pastor Samuel, so his English is not proper English. It says, dear brother, greetings in Jesus' name. I am thanking God very much for your last visit. You were sent by God at the right time. Sending you showed how much love he has for his precious church and his work, even at a time as such. The message you preached in our church has brought great impact in the life of the church. The challenges of the word of truth speaking through you with great zeal and passion of the Holy Spirit. It was not easy for me to interpret because there was so great awe of God's presence in the church. Your being in friendship with us was so awesome experience. I went to Djibouti in the next day. I preached for 7 days straight every day. I visited a refugee camp 120 miles from Djibouti where we planted a church and gave the School of Christ to the refugees there. So many thousands are staying here, so Somalians and Eritreans. I had a great time. One Somalian lady in her baby, 50 plus age, had been healed, and I led her in prayer of repentance. I baptized two people in the Red Sea there. Being with you for a week brings a great inspiration to me in the church. After a week, I came home. The next day, Tuesday, I went to Northern Sudan. Wow, God is so great. I was preaching every day for 6 days. I graduated students. My missionaries, Delima and his wife, Magano, had handed over a great work to a young man, and I am going to send them to Egypt to plant churches. School of Christ has did a great work in Northern Sudan from four places they asked me to give us the School of Christ. One young man, a graduate from the School of Christ, has planted a church there. The Lord is doing a great work. I will go to Southern Sudan refugee camp very soon. These trips only possible with the money you give me when you are here. My brethren, please let us do a School of Christ in Djibouti. I already let you give the 20-man ministry. Let us do School of Christ in Northern Sudan. About the Southern Sudan, I will inform you when I return back. We love you, Pastor Samuel.
That was two great, two really good ones. He wanted to give it to us. Why do you think this is becoming really soon? Samaria seems to be in place. But people in my family are trying to make it. I wish we could have been this one. I'm just doing the best I can. But the hour is full of it. And the need is so great. I'm going to close by giving you a story. The cross and I'll remember this. I've been pastoring this church for a long time. It's been my home church. Since 1962. And I'm looking about it that I don't know. But I had an experience. Some of you will remember the young man. I will call his name. Thomas Boone. Is he here today? Thomas had lived in Rapid Life, City of Colorado. But to keep from going to prison, he went to Tim Flowers. I'm going to tell him myself. He went to Tim Flowers, and God did such an unbelievable work in his life. Saved him, healed him, went. That man, only had one desire. He witnessed to every living human being. He talked to every person. Sister Cassidy, and we came over here, thank you. He came to me one day. He said, Brother Robert, I want we as a church to witness to all these young addicts and to begin to know them. Until he said, don't worry about it. He said, I've got probation officers that will be in every service. I've got volunteers, lawmen, that will be in every service. These are bad people. These are bad people. He began to kind of mention some of these. I got so excited, I called a meeting. The people I called the meeting to the meeting did not show up. I lost it when I saw them. I jumped all over. Where were you? One of them let me know. People don't talk to me like this. I was mad. Where were you? Until it came up. What I was saying. There's a bunch of people in here. You don't know what they're going to do. They're criminal records. You don't know what they just exploded here. So, our people on the streets, in the jails, in the probation departments, did not get the gospel because the spirit-filled believer was afraid. I've never told that story in my life. We're on the team. If we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to pass through every gate. I've been threatened to be killed twice in my life. Once by a second bullet, once by an individual. Once right here at this church. A man had a machete. Nobody at this church but me and him. Until he said he would put you in this machete. The only advocate I had in either situation was the presence of God. I couldn't stand up against heaven. I couldn't stand up against every city. But God did. I don't know where he's going to call us. I don't know where he's going to lead us. I don't know what's going to be our scenario. It may not be Sudan. It may not be Ethiopia. It may not be Djibouti. But somewhere is our scenario. And God wants us to know that he that with us is with us.